Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Miss Rachel. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 9. Revelation, chapter 9. There may be a Bible in front of you if you, or beside you if you don't have one today, but Revelation, chapter 9. I want to, again, welcome you and thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. And I always want to reiterate every week that the war room's open, the prayer room in the back. So during the service or before or after the service, sometimes you just need to go. And there's a place in there, it's real comfortable in there to go pray. We'd love for you. That's why we have that, for you to take advantage of. So please feel free to go in there right off the kitchen and spend some solitude time with you and God as well. Today I want us to look at Revelation chapter 9, the scarcity of repentance, the rareness, the few and far between, the seldomness, the strangeness, I guess you could say, because it's very, very rare. It's an anomaly. It's rare today. And it's going to be even more rare during the Great Tribulation. Right after the rapture happens, then the 7 years on this earth, as Jesus says in Matthew 24, the time of Jacob's trouble that's never been before, it's never been anything like it, never will be anything like it. The scarcity of repentance. And I want you to know, too, before we read the text, that what happens in the end times, and it could happen tomorrow, it could begin tomorrow, we don't know. Only God knows that. Has its roots in history. So what's going to happen during the 7 year tribulation period has its roots in history. Think with me about Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, the angels are there at Lot's door trying to get Lot out of there, and all the people in that town in Sodom and Gomorrah, they care nothing about anything except their own sinful, perverted sexual desires. And so they asked Lot to give them the angels so they can do this perversion with the angels. And you know, you remember they were so passionate about fulfilling their lust that they began to push the door in at Lot's house. And Lot... the Bible says that the angels struck those men, maybe women too, but men that were pushing on the door trying to get in there so they could have all these evil desires with the angels. The angels struck them with blindness. And you would think after somebody is struck with blindness that they would say, I better back off here. Something's going on. I may need to rethink my worldview, or I rethink what life is really all about. But no, even as they had been struck with blindness, wanted to continue to have those evil sexual relations with the angels. And so history repeats itself. And we're going to see that today. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. God's word says, Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four corners of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, jacinth blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. Out of their mouths came fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For the power is in the mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of the mankind who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Father, bless your word in Christ's holy name. Amen. Please be seated. If we were to go back just a little bit, Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 through 12, we're told, just as we are here, about the future. You remember last week we saw in those verses where there is a pit, and it's the pit of hell, and it doesn't have a bottom. It's called the bottomless pit. So everybody who ends up in hell is in a pit that has no bottom. Perhaps they are in a perpetual falling feeling. I don't know. Only God knows. Forever and ever. But we know it's a bottomless pit. Can't get a toehold anywhere. And your body's on fire and it never burns up. And you're tortured and tormented day and night. We know that. But it also tells us from these previous verses that there is coming a beast out of the bottomless pit that's going to torture everybody on earth who doesn't have the seal of God on their forehead. And it is going to be a horse-like locust with a man's face, with women's hair, with many, many descriptions of it. Scorpion's tail, wings that make enormous noise, and so on. And they're going to torture the men of the men and women of this earth who have the mark of the beast, who have 666, either on their head or either their hands, wherever it may be. And verse 6 tells us, if you look back at verse 6 last week, we looked at that men and women are going to want to die, but they can't die. God's not going to let them die for a period of time. They're going to be tortured by these enormous locusts, these sci-fi creatures, but they're not going to be able to die. And they're going to beg to die, but it's not going to happen. God's going to punish them because they've rejected him, and that's what it tells us in the first part. Well, in the text today, verse 13 and through 21, we're told that God releases four angels. And they're coming out of each corner of the earth, which means there's nowhere to hide if you're on the earth during the Great Tribulation period. And so he releases these angels. God blows the sixth trumpet, which is another judgment. And things are about to get worse. They're already bad, but it's about to get much, much worse. And more people are going to refuse to reject God. More people are going to say, I'm not going to repent. I'm going to stay like I am. I'm just going to try to figure it out myself. I'm going to do my own thing. And when I get to the end, maybe I'll give my life to the Lord then. But you and I know that rarely happens. Very few people give their life to the Lord on their deathbed. Most of them end up dead or brain dead before they get a chance. And so that's why we should not wait. Nobody should wait. And so verse 21 is the key verse, and it's on your screen. Look at what it says. And they did not repent of their murders, sorceries, sexual immorality, or their thefts. As this world gets colder and colder, and as evil gets worse and worse, men are going to get harder and harder hearted. They're going to refuse to reject this world. They're going to refuse to reject all this world stands for. And they're going to refuse to accept the Lord Jesus and be a follower of the Lord Jesus. Not to just believe in Jesus. Everybody, you could say, believes in some way. like we believe in that Napoleon used to be here or that some other figure used to be here. No, we're not talking about that kind of belief when we say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We're talking about a belief where we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, where we follow after Him, where we trust Him and love Him, and He's our master and our boss and our Lord. Amen? That's the kind of belief we're talking about. Kent Crockett writes about a story when he was in seminary. He said when he first enrolled in seminary, he found an apartment, and it just happened to be near a railroad crossing. And so if you live near a railroad crossing, you can identify with this story. Well, he wondered why the apartment was so cheap. And on the first night there, he realized why it was so cheap. Because when the train came through blowing its horn, he didn't just wake up, he jumped up. It scared the living daylights out of him. And night after night, the horn would come through, the train would come, and they would blow that real loud horn. And each night he began to jump less and less. And he tells the story of how after a few weeks, it didn't even bother him. When the train would come through and blow that real loud horn, it didn't affect him anymore. He became inoculated by it. He desensitized by it. It didn't even wake him up anymore. He said it hardened his heart toward the train and toward the noise. I want you to know, dear friend, that many people in our family, in our life, in our society, in our world, have hardened and hardened and hardened their hearts. And so it's much more difficult for them to hear the small, still small voice of God knocking on their heart, saying, "Let me come in, let me change your life, let me give you a new heart." It's hard for people to hear that because their hearts have become callous and cold, just like this gentleman seminary student said the train did to him. So in Revelation chapter 9, it's not all the calamities that brings people to the Lord. It is what brings people to the Lord today, just like most of the time, calamity don't bring people to the Lord in our day. It does some. But as a general rule, most people that go through these enormous tragedies, think of Orlando, think of France. If all these calamities brought people to the Lord or brought a huge number of people to the Lord, then you would see little pockets of revival breaking out in Orlando or in France or wherever it may be. But you and I know that's not what generally happens. There may be one or two that God begins to get their attention, and He begins to speak to them, and they say, "You're right, Lord, I've been playing a game. I need to be saved. I need to serve You. I need to quit lying to myself. I'm not ready for eternity." But most people don't do that. We know the Lord is long-suffering and very merciful, even toward His enemies. But one day, He's going to avenge His will upon this earth, and there will be very few that will trust Him. So let me give you a couple of truths. Number one, I'm just going to give you two today. A lot of times Baptist preachers give you three, but let me give you two today. Number one, as the end of this world comes to a close, many, many, or most still will not repent. Still will not trust the Lord. They're going to keep on business as usual. That's what the scriptures say. And we as believers, we're commanded to tell people. You're commanded to tell your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor. We're not to necessarily get up on a soapbox and just beat them over the head with the Bible. No. But there are times when they come to you or when you find yourself standing alone with them, and you need to share with them that all of mankind needs to repent. Look at these verses with me. Acts chapter 17 is one verse. the times of ignorance, God says, he overlooked. But now he commands all people everywhere from every corner of the globe to repent. It's that simple. If men and women would just repent, God's not going to take all their problems away, is he? But he's going to walk with you through them. He's going to carry you through them. And so when you do finish the end of your life, you know that you walk with Jesus and you know where you're going to end up one day. You're going to end up in heaven forever and ever, because as I said last week, for those of us that are followers of the Lord Jesus, that love the Lord Jesus, that he is our master and our boss, not just our something we say out of our mouth, but he's somebody that we live by his word as best we can. For those of us like that, this is all the hell we're going to have to put up with, because we're not going to have to deal with eternal hell, which is a million and even more than that times worse than you and I could ever imagine. So as the world comes to an end, people are not going to repent, unfortunately. Let me give you another verse. Revelation 3, one of the previous chapters, 19, says, Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove, I discipline. That's why he gets on us when we get out of line, because he loves us. So be zealous. Have some excitement about God. Have some encouragement. Have some joy of the Lord. Because if you are saved, you should have that. And repent is what he says. Very, very significant. We know God always judges rightly. He doesn't ever judge unfairly, because he's perfect in every way. He always judges, and sometimes even his judgments are blessings in disguise, because he never judges on a curve. He never judges in favoritism, like maybe in high school, when you were in high school, perhaps some of you had a teacher that was that picked on you a little bit more than he or she picked on anybody else, or they showed favoritism towards somebody else, but they didn't the rest of the class. God doesn't operate that way. God operates perfectly. He gives us all a chance to repent. He gives us all his word for us to know. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we have God's word. So we'll know how to be saved. So we'll know what salvation looks like, what it smells like and tastes like. That's why it's never God's fault when a man or woman refuse to choose Jesus as Lord, because God is always fair. Amen? In our text today, Revelation 9:13, all hell is being unleashed on this earth during that time. And mankind still doesn't see the need to repent. There's calamity, there's evil, there's violence like never before. It doesn't faze anybody hardly. There's a few, but not many. And if it did again, we would know. But the scripture says it's not going to happen. And so let me give you truth number two. All repentant, unrepentant mankind will face God's eternal, fatal judgment. Everybody. Nobody's excluded. My children's not excluded. Billy Graham's children or grandchildren. Nobody. All of us, all of mankind. No preacher, no pope, no priest, nobody. All of us have to repent. All of us are going to face a judgment one day. That's what God's word tells us. Verse 14, we read just a moment ago, tells us that these four angels coming from the four corners of the earth are going to be unleashed at the river Euphrates. And a third of all mankind, one third, will be killed. Most fallen angels are free. It's Lucifer, a fallen angel. He's roaming to and fro. Most of them are. But undoubtedly, there are some fallen angels that are bound because they're just too evil. I can't see how they'd be any more evil than Satan himself. But for some reason, God has these four angels bound. But they're going to be let loose during the Great Tribulation period. And they're going to wreak havoc upon all of mankind. It's going to be terrible. Unfortunately, for those who reject God and refuse repentance, the Bible says they're going to kill a third of all the human beings on the planet, on the earth. And as we know from prophecy and looking at this chronologically at this time, one-fourth of the population of the earth has already been killed. So we have one-fourth already dead of the earth. And here, when this trumpet blows, one-third is killed. So that is over half of every man, woman, boy, girl on the earth during the Great Tribulation period. Over half are already dead from the punishment for rejecting the Lord Jesus. Half of the world's population. Can you imagine that? If half of the world died today, what would that look like? What would it be like on the news when you got home? It would just be everywhere, wouldn't it? You couldn't get it out of anywhere. None of the stations, even the sports stations who are liberal propaganda, would be pushing all of this. No one is love like God. I want you to know, dear friend, God, even in all this judgment, God is love. Nobody loves like God. Nobody sent their only son down here from heaven to die on the cross for mankind except God. And that's real love. But he's not only love, dear friend. He is judgment. He is justice. Not one single soul, because God must punish sin, is going to get away with not repenting. Not one. That's what the scriptures say. We all must repent. Let me give you another verse. Luke 13:3. Jesus says, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, he says. Let me ask you to do something. If you spend 10 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day praying for those close to you that you love, could be a relative, it could be a friend, it could even be a neighbor. If you spend 5 minutes a day praying for them or 10 minutes, would you double it? If you spend an hour a day praying for them, would you double it? I'm asking you to pray more fervently. I'm asking you to pray for them more. Lift them up to God more. Double it. Whatever you're doing, double it. Because I'm telling you, God's the only one that can change your heart. We can't change them. If we could, we would already have done it. Amen? If you and I can change our children, and one day when I have grandchildren, if I can change them, then I would do whatever I could to change it, but I know I can't. But we can ask the Holy One, the Righteous One, the One who created him or her, the One who made everything. We can seek him more and more. If we have to lose another 30 minutes of sleep or another hour of sleep, so be it. I encourage you to do that, if you will. Now, I'm old school. I'm a conservative in my understanding of Scripture, in my life, and in my eschatology, which is end times, just a big word for end times. And so I believe the rapture is going to occur before the Great Tribulation period, and then there's going to be 7 years of calamity. And I don't understand it, obviously, because I'm not God. Only He really understands it, because He knows it, and He created it. But we're told in chapter 7, just a few chapters back, that there are going to be a bunch of people saved during the Great Tribulation period, because there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will be preaching during that time. And so there will be a vast group of people to be saved, but the majority, most of mankind, are going to reject the Lord Jesus. It's going to be a small remnant that will be saved compared to those who reject Him, who refuse Him. And so, it's very significant. And I would even say today, most people don't see the divine hand of God. They're just so busy with their life. They're busy with their self. They don't see God's hand. Most people don't see when I almost died or almost had that accident or my grandmother almost passed away or my mama did or something. Most people don't see God's divine hand in things because we're so selfish, because we're so greedy, and we're just all about ourselves. We don't see God's hand. And because of that, I would think when the rapture occurs and the church is taken out, and so everybody is still left down here on this earth during the Great Tribulation period, because people don't even have any idea what the Bible says, there are going to be more people that are going to trust Satan. They're going to take the 666. Because they want to eat, and they're going to want to be able to live, and so they're going to take the mark of the beast, is what the Bible says. Many are going to rise in rebellion as the hand of God rises. I think I've got this verse. Look at what's going to happen. But the rest, and here this is from our text, of mankind who were not killed by the plagues, by all those calamities, half of the world's population, the ones that are still alive. You would think when you see all those dead bodies on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and all the other channels, that they would repent, but they're not. That's what God says, and God knows it all. They're not going to repent. Let me share a word. Actually, verse 21. Verse 21 has this word in it, sorceries. Verse 21 says, they did not repent of their murders, sorceries, and sexual immoralities or thefts. The word sorceries in the Greek is the word pharmakeia. It's where we get the word in English, pharmacy. Where we get our drugs. And so verse 21 says that during the Great Tribulation period, when all hell is going to be unleashed upon this earth by Satan and all of his demons and all of his cronies and everybody else that's following Satan's will, that men are going to turn to pharmakeia. Men are going to turn. That's what it says, sorceries. That's what it means in the Greek. They're going to turn to drugs. Alcohol and drugs. They're going to try to cover up their problems. Oh, if I could just get another bottle, I'll forget about all these problems. And you and I know, all that does is just put a Band-Aid on it, doesn't it? Because the problem is still there. If man would just choose to repent, they won't have to deal with this pharmakeia and all this other stuff that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. But unfortunately, men are not going to do it. Because of all this, they're not going to repent. Just like Pharaoh in Moses' day, they are going to harden their hearts. Just like this heart on this photo is hardened. So the question this morning for you is your heart hard? Have you gone cold to this book? Oh, it's just like any other book. It's just like Reader's Digest or Wall Street Journal or Montgomery Advertiser. Maybe it's better than them, but it's not super important to me. Is your heart grown cold to what God says about the future, about how we should live and the kind of person He wants you to be, the kind of man and woman, the kind of son, daughter, mama, daddy, all of that? Are we perfect? No. We're going to sin every day. I'm not talking about not sinning. I'm talking about trusting Jesus. So where are you? Would you say your heart has grown cold because of life, because of some things that happened in your life? Maybe it wasn't even your fault. Maybe you couldn't help what happened to your family. But for some reason, your heart is hard. And you don't want to trust Jesus. You don't want to follow Jesus because of the hell you've been through. Your friend, that's not God. That's Satan saying you don't need God. You don't need His Word. But you do. And you're going to find it out one day. If you have to go through the Great Tribulation, you're going to figure it out. But it's going to be too late probably. And when you die, it's too late too. Ask God to soften your heart if you have a hard heart. Ask God to soften your children's heart and double your prayer time for it. Ask God to soften your neighbor's heart or whoever it may be as we pray. Father, all of us in some way have a heart that's harder than it should be. Lord, for those of us that have trusted you, we're not perfect. We know that only Jesus is perfect, Father, and you are. But we serve a perfect God. We serve you, Lord. And so, Lord, thank you for saving us. Not because we're anything good, but because you're all good. But Lord, even in a crowd this size, there are probably some that just hadn't surrendered, have not surrendered all, hadn't yielded their life. For whatever reason, Lord, I pray that they would look beyond the things of this world and they would get tired of the things of this world. They get tired of all the guilt and shame and pain of this world and they would choose Jesus, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.